right, and we're back. This is episode 48 of the Taproom Podcast. I'm your host, Mike. Came out to Arizona this weekend, so got Jam on the show, got Nav on the show.
What up?
What's going on? What's up? It's been a pretty wild weekend so far.
Yeah, a lot of gambling being done this weekend, which per usual when we come to Arizona. Yeah. About 150 bucks in. That's pretty much it.
And
got three parlays left.
How have you done so far, Nav?
Who screwed me? Villarreal screwed me in Spanish league.
Minor league soccer.
Jamin said it's minor league soccer. They screwed me. Other than that, I took two large men's college basketball games. I took all favorites. I lost a couple of those. The Kings really screwed me yesterday. But it's been a fun weekend, but a lot of losing.
Yep. How about you, Jam? Jam's been the big winner so far this weekend.
233, baby.
Hell yeah. The nail biter, Jam let it ride on United and Tottenham.
I cashed out early.
John's words, he says, I bitched out, guys. Yeah. He cashed out.
It went from 43 to 70 to 90 mm-hmm. to 140. I held strong to my belief. So
yeah,
I held on to extra time. Extra time was what, 3 minutes?
Five
minutes, and then John he cashed out. So yeah. I bitched out.
Yeah, I told him out. Not to.
It was a good game though. Very interesting game.
Yeah, I think, well, I hit two parlays so far. I hit one for like 90, was it 95, I think?
At the Avalanche game?
No, it was the Chelsea. I took Chelsea to win over on the corners in that game. Then I took Man City to win mm-hmm. over on the corners. No, I think that was like 70. No, I might have been 90. I don't remember. I know I was kind of getting low. I was down to like 40 bucks in the DraftKings account, and then it put me right back in it.
Nice. Hell yeah.
And then, yeah, I covered, well, I rode with Jamin on the draws between the two EPL games today. And yeah, that one, I cashed out at 53 bucks. I was only going to win 71, but I still.
You got to stay in.
Got to gamble to win, baby. But yeah, so it's been a fun weekend. This episode is with Pfeiffer's Brewing from Joe Pfeiffer over in Anaheim. It's across the street from Brewery X. They got some really good beers. So honestly, it's a really fun story of how it all came to be, because Pfeiffer's was like an old school kind of, almost like the Budweiser of like the, I guess like of like the North kind of, because it was like, it's like Minnesota was like, I guess where they came from.
Okay.
But they're really, really good people. So that'll, you know, that'll be in a little bit, and I'll put the timestamp in the description. But yeah, we got to do that when we went to Wren House Brewing on Friday, got to go record with Drew Poole from over there is the co-founder. He's a really nice guy. It's Wild Card Weekend. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's been good. So should we start with our first beer?
Mm-hmm. Do it up.
Let's do the Wren House one first. This one is called Wren. Oh, it's from Wren House Brewing, called Above Snakes. It's an IPA coming in at 7%. It's cool can artwork. I like the pastel kind of colors.
Oh, Jam's going to love this.
Oh, it's going to be great, yeah.
Yeah, I had their, what was it called? Spellbinder. It was a hazy. It was actually pretty good. It was really good, and I like the little setup. It's got a wild cat running, walking around like a rogue cat.
Yeah, it's like a feral cat. It's like it's the brewery cat. They called it. His name is Gravy.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, and they released the can today with him on it.
Oh, fucking badass!
Yeah, ooh, let's get that. A couple solo cups over here, eh?
Listen to that pour.
Yeah.
Why'd you give me this much, man?
Oh, sorry.
What the hell?
That looks pretty, like, hazy, too.
It smells good.
Yeah. That does smell really good. Cheers, boys.
Cheers. All right,
cheers.
Here we go. A lot of drinking last night. Some guy drank most of a bottle of Jameson.
I wonder who that was.
Ooh, I like that. Super floral. It's like floral, citrusy. That's delicious. I like that a lot. They're 4 for 4 with me for the beers that I've had from them.
Nice.
But yeah, they had a lot of really, really good stuff. Like a lot to choose from too. They have like, I love it. Like they turned an old bakery into their brewery. So
yeah, they have one building and then looked like it had two giant warehouses behind it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I like the way it looked. It looked legit.
I like this one a lot.
They had this quad hazy 13.2.
Yeah.
Didn't want to fuck with it. Did not just sit away from it. No, wasn't going to try that. I should have got it for Gunner.
Yeah, probably should have Gunner. Yeah, he would have had like, you know, a shot of it probably.
Half and went to sleep.
Yeah, I like this a lot though. I'm gonna give this a solid 9. This is really good to me. It will not. Nav and Jam aren't really the biggest IPA guys.
No, so. This is a little rough for me.
Yeah,
but give it on. I'm just gonna base them their setup. This place is legit, so I'll just give it. I'll just give it a 7.
There you go.
Damn, 7. That's generous. It's not the worst I ever had.
Yeah,
I would say 5.2.
All right,
not bad. I mean, you know, to each his own.
I'm a Busch Light drinker, guys.
Oh yeah, no, it's all good.
It's different.
Yeah,
I think I had 6 Busch Lights yesterday.
There you go.
All of them were in one cup.
Yeah,
one glass, I should say. Giant 32-ouncer or whatever it was.
There you go. Yeah, some big headlines this week. Some of the biggest names in coaching were either fired or retired. Mm-hmm. Carroll's gone for Seattle. Mike Vrabel. I mean, he's not really one of the ones I was talking about, but I like Vrabel as a coach. But Nick Saban retired, and they hired Kalen DeBoer. And Belichick, you know, left or was kind of forced out. And yeah. Jared Mayo is the new coach for the Patriots.
Yes.
So what do you think about you think Harbaugh goes to the Chargers, Jim?
I'm guessing Seattle.
You think Seattle?
Seattle. Yeah, okay. Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. I think Seattle. I think he should go to the Chargers because of...
You already have a quarterback there. Yeah.
What do you think, Nav?
I think Belichick ends up in L.A.
You think so?
Yeah.
Fuck.
And I mean, Gunner wants Harbaugh so bad.
I would like to see Harbaugh in San Diego. Why not?
Yeah.
The weather's great. You already have a quarterback.
L.A. San Diego doesn't have a team.
Oh, yeah.
They'll always be the San Diego Chargers to me.
Yeah.
I would like to see him in L.A. That'd be cool for him.
Yeah, I think that would be... I mean,
but do we know he's leaving? What if he comes back for
Harbaugh? Yeah, it could happen.
Well, because J.J. McCarthy declared for the draft today.
Yeah.
So, we'll see.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, we'll see how it plays out. But, I mean, that'd be kind of... I think Harbaugh would be good for the Chargers. But Belichick would do well there too. But, I mean, you know, he's just got to, like... Are they willing to let him be like the G, like one of the, like to make all the draft picks and stuff like that? Because he was the GM for the Patriots too. Yeah. So.
I don't see why not.
Yeah.
The guy's earned it. You know, he obviously knows what he's doing.
Yeah, I got 6 Super Bowl rings.
Yeah.
Does he though?
Yeah.
I don't know. He had Tom Brady.
Uh oh.
That's true. He had a killer of a tight end, Gronk.
A killer of a tight end.
Edelman.
Best defense, usually.
Yeah, they always had a solid defense.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Yep. What else? So we have a wild card weekend. Yesterday, Jams Dolphins. It was kind of a rough game.
Rough game to watch. Freezing. Poor Andy Reid's mustache was frozen over.
Yeah, and there was only the... Wait, was there... Oh yeah, no, I was gonna say it was 2 games. Yeah, it was the Texans. Yeah, the Texans game.
Browns. Texans come with the over on their own.
Yeah, good for the Texans, man. Like D'Amico Ryans and freaking CJ Stroud.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Flacco, Mr. Pick Six.
I did 2 of them.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Back to back drives. I think.
Yeah.
Well, at least today, he was worse than Tua.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's true. That. When you're right, you're right. I mean, Tua. I don't know. I mean, he's not used to the cold and stuff like that.
But yeah.
I mean, it was just, I don't know. And honestly, like, I feel like if the Dolphins were healthy.
Yes.
They had like so many guys out. I mean, I think that game would have been a lot, mm-hmm. lot closer.
What was the final 25-7? Something like that?
Listen, if we had full complement, we would have won the division.
Like, yeah.
3 games.
Well, like they were saying, like on the, you know, the telecast, you guys like, had guys that had been there for 4 days that were playing. Like, that's crazy. And how they, like, delayed the Bills game because of weather, but wouldn't delay or wouldn't postpone the Dolphin game.
Yeah.
That, to me, that's, you know. Yeah, it was snow, but it was a lot warmer in Buffalo than mm-hmm. it was in Kansas City.
Oh, yeah.
We were looking for guys off the street. I swear I got a call from South Florida.
Could have happened. And then today we got first game is the Packers. Packers Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
I apologize to any Cowboys fans, but sorry, fuck off today. Sorry, Josh from Noble. Love you, man. him and his girlfriend, she's a Packer fan and he's a Cowboy fan, so that should be a fun one for them to watch together.
Oh, good for them.
I don't apologize. Take your stir and shove it right up your ass.
Yes, let them have it.
Yeah, so we got that one, and then what's the second game?
Lions Rams.
Okay,
Rams. That's the game almost.
Like Rams at Lion. Yeah, I have a lot going on that game. So yeah,
yeah, and we I think we all have our parlays. I know I have a couple. Oh, I already have DraftKings. It's already open. So my one of my bets, I got Jordan Love over 1.5 touchdowns. The over on the total 51. Jordan Love plus or 250 plus on his passing yards. Mm-hmm. Christian Watson. We'll see what happens with his hammy. Over 26.5 receiving yards, and then Green Bay to win by either 1 or 6 points.
Hell yeah.
And then also I do have another side parlay with the Packers and the Lions both winning straight up. And then I have the Lions, the Rams and the Lions game. I have Amon-Ra 70+, Puka Nacua +60+ receiving yards.
That's
and
what I have.
Over 6.5 receptions for Cooper Kupp.
Nice. Here we go. Yeah, we're all riding with Puka Nacua and Amon-Ra and Cooper Kupp to get some touches today.
No doubt.
Yeah, hopefully it's a shootout. Hopefully it's a fucking high-scoring game so that we all hit.
Yeah. Do you have any other ones now?
I have David Montgomery, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, all anytime touchdown.
Nice.
And then I have Cooper Kupp +65 yards receiving, Puka Nacua +50 yards receiving, Kareem Williams anytime touchdown, Jared Goff +225 passing yards, I mean. Amon-Ra +70 yards receiving, and Jahmyr Gibbs anytime touchdown.
Like it.
Then I have a big NBA one. Get that one later.
Jam had what, a 20 teamer going yesterday?
Yeah, went 18-2.
Yep.
Fuck, that's brutal. I'd rather go 2-18.
17-3 Friday.
Jeez. Yeah, 18-2 yesterday. Well, maybe next week you go 19-1, and
maybe
then
today.
That's true.
Yeah,
you never know. Now, what other bets? Oh, well, we all have, I guess, kind of like the same bets right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a 12-teamer though.
There you go.
Oh yeah, that's right. Well, Jam was on the verge of hitting 13, actually. He almost hit for 249,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the first touchdown.
All I needed was 4 to score a touchdown. Yeah. And Tyreek.
What, a 46-cent bet for 249,000?
Talk about an investment.
Yeah, there you go.
I need to do that again today.
Why not?
Ride the Lightning.
Yeah, we all got to pick a bet so we can all ride together.
Yep. That should be pretty good. Let's do one more beer before we jump into the interview. This is we may have done this one on the show. I think Nob said we did last time, but I don't remember. This one's brewed and canned by, it's called Blue Big Van. Big Blue Van, blueberry wheat, coming in at 5.4%. It's brewed and canned by College Street Brew House, the Lake Havasu City, Arizona. It says a groovy American style wheat beer infused with the far out flavors, the blueberry and vanilla. So when the moon is in the seventh house, what in Jupiter? Okay. I don't know what's going on there.
It's such a hippie ass can.
You know what it reminds me of? What's the one? Is it in Cars? He's all these. Oh, it's a conspiracy.
Oh,
man.
Yeah. He owns the Army Supply Store or something like that, or surplus store.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's crack her open. 5.4%. You said this is Michelle's favorite, right?
Yep.
Michelle.
And her friend Angela. They love this stuff.
Angela.
Our friends.
Is that Super Troopers? He's like, Angela. I love you, Angela.
Ursula.
Ursula. That's what it is. Oh, I can't believe I didn't get that.
Ursula.
Here you go, Jan. Should have got a bottle of Pyramid.
Imagine that.
I don't think they make Pyramid anymore.
We'll have to dust it off. Be some archive somewhere.
Yeah, we'll find a six or a Brahma.
I think that's actually pretty good. Beers in the fridge outside.
Oh, God, no.
Bonus beer.
As a guest, can I do a bonus beer?
You can do a bonus beer if you want.
Yeah.
We can do a bonus beer on the outro.
After this one.
All right. Cheers, boys. Do you want to take a drink of it?
Yeah.
Did you chug it already?
I did like a mouthful.
Blueberry. Yeah, you did.
This is actually fucking good. I actually like this.
So if you get this on draft or port, you can put blueberries and smash them up on the bottom.
Oh, dang,
so
that's cool.
Fucking good.
Nice. It tastes like a blueberry muffin.
It kind of does, yeah.
This is actually really good.
Yeah.
I don't know how many of these I can drink. Oh, yeah. Lake Havasu City, Arizona.
Yep. Nice. That's pretty solid. I mean, I'd give that an 8. It's not my cup of tea, but I mean, it's still really good.
I'm gonna go 8 also. It's actually pretty good. I like it.
What about you, Jim?
I really like it. If it had blueberries, Big Fat 10.
Okay.
We're still doing that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big Fat 10 still around. BFTs. Yeah.
9.3.
Nice. All right.
Oh, hell yeah. Right on.
All right. Well, hope you guys enjoy the interview. Jam's going to come back in the outro for a bonus beer and maybe a quote to end the show. All right. Enjoy the interview with Joe Pfeiffer, Pfeiffer's Brewing.
All right, guys. We're back in the tap room. I am your host, Mike, and I have a very special guest on today, Joe Pfeiffer. I have the owner of Pfeiffer's Famous over here in Anaheim off of La Palma and Kramer. How are you doing today?
Really good.
That's good. I'm glad to hear it, man. Thanks for having me, of course.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, and I mentioned to you a little earlier, I was talking to my brother about, you know, the brewery and stuff like that when he came to the grand opening. Mm-hmm. And he was telling me your story, and I was like, man, I got to talk to him.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. Could you tell the guests, like, because obviously Pfeiffer's is, you know, been around since what, 1889, right?
Yeah, the original brand started in 1889 by a guy named Conrad Pfeiffer. Started in Detroit.
Okay.
He kind of ran the brewery till Prohibition hit.
Wow.
And then once Prohibition hit, he kind of obviously closed down. Group of investors bought the brewery out, and it just became Pfeiffer Brewing Company. It was no longer C. Pfeiffer Brewing Company.
Okay.
And they built it up. At one point, it was in the 50s for sure. It was the 10th largest brewery in the whole country.
Oh, wow.
And it was definitely Detroit's largest brewery. It was kind of a big deal back in the day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. And like, so how did everything come about for you?
It's been a wild adventure for sure. The rest of the history was, you know, became Pfeiffer Brewing Company. I think in the late 40s, early 50s, they started buying out a lot of other regional breweries. So they brought out like Drury's, Schmidt's. I read somewhere that even Narragansett was one of them. And there's a few others. And then after they became, Associated Brewing Company, I believe, at that point. And then there was a brewer strike in the 50s. And then so they were really leveraged out.
Oh, wow.
And so it kind of messed everything up. And then I think after that, it became Heilman's. And then at some point, it went bankrupt. And Stroh's ended up buying out the remaining assets. When Stroh's went bankrupt, Pabst bought out the remaining apps, the remaining assets of that was left of Stroh's. So Pabst is the one that had the trademark. I got really into craft beer, like a lot of my other friends, probably 2009, 2010, 2011. You know, I was drinking the, you know, stuff from the brewery, the barrel-aged stouts, Bourbon County brand stouts. All that stuff was kind of new still. Driving down to Alpine to get the exponential hoppiness release, doing all that. But volume-wise, I mostly drank Coors Light, you know, the Macro Lagers. You know,
of course.
Played hockey, go to the river, go camping. You know, you don't always want to drink the big beers.
Yeah.
And at that point, you know, my last name is Pfeiffer. And I was like, I remember the old brewery. I remember hearing about it. I grew up in Wisconsin. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to try to bring that back. That'd be super cool. Just have like, you know, a lager brewery.
Yeah.
And this is probably like 2013, I believe, is when I started the journey.
Okay.
That's when I found out that Pabst had owned the trademark.
Oh, wow.
So I filed to open a brewery called Pfeiffer Brewing Company, got denied. And then, I was kind of bummed out. And this is where it gets really interesting because I was at my son's soccer game. I think I was just whining to one of the dads. And he started asking me, like, really specific questions. Like, oh, you know, how long has it been around? Like, are they doing anything with it? You know, all these different questions. I was like, you know, I was answering them. I didn't really put two and two together. Until the end of the conversation, he said, I'm a trademark attorney.
Oh.
I'm like, what? Dang. No way. Yeah. And he was like, he said, yeah, you know what? I'll do it at cost. And he's like, and we'll win.
Oh.
And I'm like,
that's
really?
Damn, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And he was really confident about it. So went back and forth with the trademark office for, I don't know, a year or two between, you know, they're not using it. They are using it, back and forth with Pabst. And finally negotiated an agreement just to buy the brand.
Oh, wow.
So we probably would have won and gotten the name only. But, you know, we wouldn't have had necessarily the history that went along with the name. So by buying the brand from Pabst, we kind of ended up with the history and the logos and all of that. So it was a good decision.
Yeah.
But that process between, you know, the going back and forth and completing the purchase, that took almost like 7 years probably.
Wow.
So it took a long time, maybe not quite that long. And at that point, I was just kind of doing contract brewing. I had an agreement with a company in Milwaukee, Milwaukee Brewing Company. They were going to brew the beer for me. COVID hit.
Yeah.
You know, they actually, I think they went out of business or they sold out.
Oh, damn.
So that didn't work out. And then I was kind of left, you know, like, oh, man, what am I going to do now?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the first couple of batches, I'm really good friends with the guys over at Docent. They helped me. They've been Brian and Scott have been, they're super good friends, super amazing people. And they really helped me kind of get it launched. So beginning of this year, 2023, they helped us brew the first batch. And it's been full steam ahead since then.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And like you said, I was really content just to do the contract brewing thing. You know, it's easy. I'm not a brewer. I don't really have any interest in brewing per se. Like, I love craft beer. I love the people. I love everything associated with it. But the act of brewing doesn't excite me. You know what I mean? And then, you know, this kind of location became available. Our location is where the old Dueling Ducks brewery used to be. And just seemed to, you know, definitely add a lot more legitimacy to what I was trying to do as far as bringing the brand back.
Of course.
And that's how we ended up here.
That's cool. And it's such a cool spot too. I mean, and I love the fact that like this beer, like, you know, the history behind this beer, like how many people have had it, you know, going all the way back to 1889. So like, what was it like, obviously winning that case or like being able to, you know, winning that case from, you know, from Pabst and stuff like that, or getting, you know, all the trademarks and all that stuff. What came along? Like, how did it, like, was the, I'm assuming the recipe was included in that as well, or what was the whole thing behind that?
You would assume that, and we thought it was, but at the end of the day, it did not come with the original recipe. So supposedly it was lost during a flood or something like that. They gave some excuse to it. So I don't really know what happened to the original recipe. But, you know, what came down, we had about, we sat down with and drank about, I want to say like 30 or 40, like just every
nice
American lager we could find, you know, or like just drinking things and like, what do we like about this one? What do we like about that one? You know, trying to create a beer that's, you know, my vision for this beer has always been, and even the brand is like, you know, kind of a working man's craft beer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very specific, and exactly what I'm going to say is it's meant for the guy. I mean, it's meant for everybody, but the vision was, you know, I want, you know, somebody who works his ass off all day, you know, went to the gas station, filled up the tank, grabbed a six pack, you know, drank a couple on the way home in a brown paper bag, you know, got home, maybe had a couple more on the porch.
Yeah.
You know, and then went about his day, you know, and doing whether it's daddy duty or husbandly duties or watching the game, whatever it is. That's really kind of the vision for this brand. You know, I wanted it to be, you know, like the tasting room. It's, I think it's upscale, but not pretentious. Mm-hmm. You know, I want it to be authentic, you know,
of course.
And that's what I think we created with this beer, you know, just super clean, super crisp, definitely take a six pack to the river and, you know, have a good time.
Yep. Tie off the cans in the water so they stay cold.
Yes, sir.
That's awesome. I mean, on this one, yeah, it's super. That's what I'm having right now, the Pfeiffer's Famous, and it's clean, clear, crispy, and like you said, and I love that what you said about, you know, it being kind of the everyman's beer, like everybody, you know, the guy that's had a long day, wants to get home and crack open a couple cold ones, and, you know, do just enjoy something that, like you said, it's not like it's not trying to, like, what's the word, like, not trying to do too much. It's just, it's perfect the way it is.
Yeah. I like to tell people all the time, like, you know, well, you know, like, oh, what's Pfeiffer's Famous? I'm like, you know, when you think of beer, like, that's what it is. Like, whatever, like, it's just a really good American lager. Like, it's, you know, there's nothing fancy. It's not trying to be anything, you know, then it's not, it's just trying to be a really good version, of an American lager.
Yeah.
You know, just like you said, people may laugh about it in the craft beer world, or at least they did, you know, just a yellow fizzy beer.
Yeah.
But a really good version of it, I think.
Yeah, but even then, I feel like when it comes to like Pilsners and lagers, because obviously like Hazy's got super popular at, you know, a certain point, and they still are, don't get me wrong, but I love like a good West Coast or a good Pilsner or lager. Like, to me, you give me something done that way, and like, you know, because every brewery's tastes different, but there's always those similarities.
Yeah.
And I'm sure your brewer would attest to it. Like, it's not something you can fake. It's not something you can hide. Like, you can't just like you throw something else in there to make it, you know, to taste different.
Yeah.
But when it's done right, it's like, man, it's the best.
Yeah. There's nothing to hide behind.
Yeah.
It's just beer.
Oh yeah. And that, and it's a damn good one at that.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So you said you started kind of drinking craft beer in like, what, the late 2000s?
Yeah, I think like 2000, man, I don't know. I think Fat Tire was my first like craft beer, you know. I'm like, oh yeah, I'd like craft beer. Give me a Fat Tire.
Yeah.
You know, and then it just kind of expanded from there. I lived in Orange, and Old Town Orange, and there was Provisions, you know, it opened up. And
nice.
I was like, that's when I had my first, I think I'd walked in and, I think it just happened to be like a Black Tuesday on tap or something. And I was like, holy shit, what is this?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know beer could be that.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of blew my mind, changed my world for a few years. Cause then I was like, the chase was on, you know, I was going, like I said, going all the releases and doing all that stuff and the bottle shares. And man, it was like, it was definitely a great moment in time. That's for sure.
Yeah,
because I met a bunch of friends that are still friends today.
Yeah.
You know, for sure.
Yeah, I think that's what I was telling you earlier, like just like the craft beer community, like everybody like, oh, you got something over in Boston. I want some. Oh, I want that. I'll send you something from over here. And you can kind of do that and you make those friends. And, you know, like even through this show, I've met so many different people across the country, you know, even with just talking to them on Skype or whatever, you know. Sure. And you get to make those connections. And it was like, yeah, send me this. Oh, I saw that this brewery that you follow is releasing this. Can you go get it?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I love that. I think it was Stone for me, but I remember when I first tried a Double Bastard, I was like, what is this? Like, don't get me wrong. I love Stone.
Oh my God. I remember they had those giant bottles at like Christmas time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like,
the Double Bastards?
I was like,
dude, like, what is this? But then like you kind of, after I started having like the regular Stone IPA, I was like, okay. And then I built myself up to the Double Bastard.
That's so funny. Yeah, it's so true. I remember even Sculpin was like hard to get.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you could find it, you're like, oh man, we found some Sculpin. And it
was
like some of those beers, like I said, it just changed my complete outlook, you know, growing up in the Midwest, you know, drinking Miller and Keystone Lights and all that stuff.
Yeah. Like, Natty Lights and all that.
I was in the Marine Corps. It was all quantity over quality for sure.
Oh yeah.
And then, like, yeah, it just blew my mind what was out there.
Okay. What branch were you in?
I was in the Marine Corps.
Oh, that's why you said the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
And my dad was a Marine.
Ah, Semper Fi.
Yeah.
Thank you for our service.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. He was like, he would always talk about like, because I think he was in Saigon or Japan, or I don't remember where exactly he was. He's told me the stories before, but a lot of my family's military. My grandpa was he's a paratrooper. He was in the Screaming Eagle.
Fuck yeah, man.
Yeah. But I love like that whole story. And you talked about growing up in Wisconsin. What was the craft beer scene like there during that time? Or was it just like, was there any really, or?
Nah, man, I'm an old man. So God, I graduated high school in 92. So
okay.
I don't even think I even heard the term craft beer until, you know, much, much later. Yeah. It was all, like you said, Miller, Bud,
Busch,
the basics, man, for sure.
Isn't it crazy how much it blew up? Like from like right around that time, like, you know, when you and I started drinking craft beer to, you know, to where it is now, like it's just, I think, honestly, I really think like the bottle sharing and stuff like that really kind of pushed it, because you couldn't just go to a liquor store and find it.
Yeah.
You had to either go to the brewery or you had to know someone and stuff like that.
No, for sure. I mean, it was, like I said, I don't know, like everybody says, oh, when back in the day, it was so much cooler or this or that. But like, I mean, I don't know, like from like 2009 to like 2000, maybe 12, 13, 14. I mean, that was an amazing time in the craft beer world.
Oh, it was, for sure.
Again, like, you know, barrel aged beers. I mean, there was some, but it was still kind of a newer thing, you know, and then all of a sudden the sours exploded and you started opening your, you know, like, what is it? What's this, the Cantillon or,
yeah,
or Trefontaine? And you're like, oh my God, this is amazing. And
yeah,
like, yeah, it was just, it was such an amazing time. I think for me, like, I kind of like waned off of craft beer. I want to say 2015, 16. I think I just realized, like, and for the better, I think to some extent, like, there's just so much good beer, like, just local. Like, mm-hmm. And I think, I was like, you know, I'm chasing all these beers, I'm doing all this stuff, and it's definitely fun, and I, you know, I'll still do it here and there, but I think it really just began like taking a step back and just enjoying what was right there in front of me the whole time, you know, yeah, instead of necessarily always looking for the next best thing. Mm-hmm. And I think like you can say that in a lot of parts of people's lives, you know,
instead
always chasing the next best thing versus just like just being happy with what's there in front of me. And usually what's right there in front of you is pretty good.
Oh yeah. You know, and enjoying the moment. Like, yeah, you know, like just being able to come to a brewery, and like, that's why I always, for this show, it's like, I always wanted people to feel like I was sitting across from the bar. Somebody, we happened to be wearing the same hat or wearing a brewery shirt. And yeah, we're like, oh dude, I've never been to that place. And yeah, you kind of have a conversation.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that craft beer in general is that's what's been amazing. Just when I was way into the scene, and even once we opened the brewery, and as I was beginning to open the brewery, is just that, like, it's, you know, it's the people for the most part are really genuine, really good people. And, you know, I think craft beer, just beer in general, I mean, I guess it doesn't even have to be craft beer, is mm-hmm. a lot of times just having a conversation with your buddies, you know?
Oh yeah.
And, you know, and I don't know, I think that's what it's all about for me. I mean, yeah, I never drink beer by myself.
Yeah.
I have a fridge full of beer at home. I never once crack one open by myself. But, you know, as soon as I have a friend over, let's have a beer. Let's hang out.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it's all about. And that's kind of what we try to build here, too.
Yeah.
You know, just it's a place to hang out with your friends, you know, and enjoy a beer.
That's awesome, man. And that's honestly, it's a kick-ass spot. I love, like, obviously all the I love this, like, with the wood grain on the tables and even, like, the, you know, the backsplash on the thing. I'll describe it. It'll be in the reel when I post it. But I love all that stuff. The logos, like, even, you know, everything on the wall, the tanks being right there. I've always loved that about a brewery. When you can walk in, you can see the tanks.
Yeah.
To me, that's just, like, it's such a just a cool thing. And you guys have so much on tap, which we'll get into in a little bit. But you did mention, obviously, growing up in Wisconsin. So I do want to ask, are you a Packer fan?
Of course.
Okay.
Have to be.
I'm a Packer fan, too. I've never been to Wisconsin. I've been wanting to go. But, I mean, ever since when I think I was 5 years old, I was a Raider fan. But then my dad told me, you can choose whatever team you want. And I saw Brett Favre throw, like, this bomb to Andre Rison. Yes, and I was like, all right, that's my team from now on.
Lambeau Field will change your life.
I've heard nothing but that, yeah.
An amazing story. So, God, when was this? I don't know if you remember, there was it still shows on the ESPN reels, like that amazing catch where I think it's Antonio Freeman's on his back.
Oh, yeah, against the Vikings, Monday Night Football.
And it's in like overtime or the last minute mm-hmm. to tie the game. I don't remember exactly.
It's like bouncing around, yeah.
Yeah, so my dad and I had tickets to that game, and it was my dad's first time to go to Lambeau, and it was my first time to go to Lambeau. Oh, that's
so awesome.
And, we rolled up, and like people were – it was like people were partying. It was like the most amazing experience ever. And, I was at that game. That was my first time at Lambeau. And,
yeah.
My dad's not with us anymore, so it's just an amazing memory.
That's cool.
To share that with. But Lambeau is special. I mean, it's still like steel, you know, aluminum bleachers.
Yeah.
Like, there's no fancy chairs. Like,
yep.
You get to know your neighbor pretty quick over there.
That's awesome.
Yeah. In the wintertime, though, you need to be that way because you're like super close.
Yeah, you got to be. You need that body heat.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, those are like those teams when I was a kid. Obviously, I mean, I still love them now, but those teams, remember, it was Antonio Freeman, like Robert Brooks. Like Leroy Butler was on those teams. Like, was it Edgar Bennett? I think was on one of the. I know he was on Dorsey Levens.
Yeah, Dorsey Levens. They had Reggie White there when they won the Super Bowl.
Mark Chmura, who was always one of my favorite tight ends.
Oh man, that's the thing about the Packers. They had 20 or 30 years with Favre and Rodgers, and they still only have two Super Bowls.
Like, I know,
come on, man.
Yeah, that Killing was me. that year that like that whole Elway thing. I felt like it was just when you look back now, it's like okay, it was destiny, but. I mean, when I was a kid, I was like, how? Like, how did this happen? How did they lose?
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, I don't think I'd listen to sports radio for like 2 weeks after that. I couldn't take it. I was like, no, I'm not watching ESPN. I'm not watching sports. I want to forget it ever happened.
Yeah. How do you think Jordan's going to, I mean, because it's only his first season, so how do you think he's going to fare?
I don't know. Too early to tell, I think. He'll show his moments. You're like, all right, we got this. And then you're like, uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. You'll see flashes, and then you'll see something like that happen the last 2 weeks, and it's like, you know.
But, I mean, Rodgers wasn't all that his first season either, so you got to give it, you know, you got to give him a little bit of time.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I feel like people, like everybody now kind of needs like, oh, it needs to be now. Yeah. But you think nobody, even like with Aaron sitting behind Brett for all those years, like you had, nobody does that anymore.
No.
Nobody will give them time to kind of get their legs under them.
Yeah. You got to trust the process.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
And that's why, I'll always be a Packer fan, but I'll always like cherish those memories as a kid. Cause I remember watching that with my stepdad on Monday night, that game that you were at. So how cool is that we get to talk about it right now?
Just like beer kind of brings everything together sometimes.
Oh, for sure, man. And you mentioned, you mentioned hockey?
Yes.
Are you a big hockey fan?
Yeah, except I don't have a lot of time to watch too many games, but
I know you're a busy man.
Yeah, I still play in an old man beer league. You know how that goes.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've always loved the Avalanche. All my teams are like everywhere.
Yeah.
Cause it was like growing up, I was like, oh, I'm going to cheer for that team. Cause I like their jerseys.
Yeah.
You know, at 6 years old, 7 years old. But yeah, now I'm like, I love Colorado. I think it was Joe Sakic and like Patrick Waugh and all those guys for me.
They had some amazing teams back then. I would say, I root for the Ducks just because I'm here local, but I like the Flyers. I went to school in Philadelphia after the Marine Corps, and so I became a huge Flyers fan.
Oh,
so,
that's awesome. Yeah. They had like a young – well, they still have a young team, but I feel like a lot – like a couple of years ago, it was like, man, they're like going to be up and coming, but then it just seems like for whatever reasons, they've kind of slowed down a little. But yeah. I think they have a really good core.
See where it goes.
Yeah. Definitely. Sorry, I had to get had to pick your brain there on sports a little bit.
Yes, sir. Anytime.
Yeah. So this specific location, how did you come across it? Because I know like Dueling Ducks was closing down, but.
You know, I'm really good friends with our current managing director, Tyler, and kind of when Dueling Ducks was closing down, somebody actually approached him about it. And he kind of told me about, you know, that it was opening up, and that's kind of it. So it was kind of just word of mouth, kind of being in the right place at the right time, kind of knowing the right people. I feel fortunate. You know, he said, I think we've only, Dave, how 7 weeks or 6 weeks that we've been open? I guess we opened up on the 11th of November, right? So I don't know, only like 6 or 7 weeks, and it's been good. We've had like a really good response. You know, people are kind of really excited about the vision. I mean, obviously I'm biased, but I would say I'm also our biggest critic. You know, I mean, all the beers are really good.
Yeah.
We've been really fortunate. I owe that to Dave, the head brewer. So yeah, it's been good.
That's awesome. And what was the grand reopening? What was that like?
It was amazing, man. Yeah. It was, you know, like you said, I think it's been 10 years of, you know, of, I want to say hard work, because there's definitely, you know, it's just me. Like, there's no investors. I'm not a rich man by any stretch. You know, I'm just kind of a little guy trying to make it happen. You know, so it's 10 years, you know, of work. And you know, sometimes when you're doing something by yourself, you kind of lose a little bit of steam. And sometimes it's hard to kind of pick that back up.
Yeah.
So there were some moments I probably could have forced it along faster, but you know, it just didn't work out that way. So yeah, it was quite the moment, man.
Like
I said, 10 years in the making, just kind of culminated on that one night. So yeah, it was an amazing experience. And like I said, it had a great turnout, friends, family, but like I said, even tons of strangers who've kind of become friends. Like we already have a bunch of regulars that come in. It's been pretty cool.
That's awesome. Yeah. Cause that I was telling you, and I mentioned earlier, like, yeah, my brother was the one that told me, he's like, dude, you gotta come check it out. I was like, dude, I'm down. Like, and then he told me your story. I was like, oh, fuck yeah. Well, I'm going to see if I can, I'm going to reach out, see if I can get him on the show. Yeah. And he was like, and he was here. I think he was here with Greg from over, one of the brewers over at Brewery X. And he was just like, they were telling me like how kick ass this was. And cause he knows like, I like him light and crispy. So he was just like, yeah, you gotta go.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. Like, I mean, as you know, I mean, the craft beer world's pretty small, and we kind of all, you know, check out each other's breweries and support each other's breweries. So, like, you know, the best compliment you can get is, you know, when, you know, another brewer or brewery, you know, somebody works in a different brewery, you know, gives you kind of that that high five. That's a pretty big deal. You know, doing something right.
Definitely. So we talked about how, like, you know, the beers, you kind of like the barrel aged stuff. Do you still like that now when you go to like a craft, like if you were going to a brewery, what do you kind of like to drink?
Yeah. I mean, if there's something, you know, that catches my eye for sure, but you know, I'll usually stick with the light lagers or something lighter. I just think you can judge a brewery better by that. Like if they can do those beers good, then you know, everything else is good.
Oh, for sure. I think I say that on every show.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I kind of just depends what I'm in the mood for. You know, I'll drink the hazy IPA here and there. I'm not a hater. Mm-hmm. I'll even drink a seltzer here and there, but
yeah. Same.
Just kind of whatever I'm in the mood for that day.
Yeah. I mean, cause I feel like, I mean, hazies are good. Don't get me wrong. I like them, but I always like, because I feel like those pilsners and lagers are the ones you can't hide behind anything. Like,
yeah, I agree.
I always go for those because like you said, if those are good, I know everything else is going to be good.
No, exactly.
Yeah. And you said you never brewed before, right? You never had the inkling for it?
No, you know what? Like I use this analogy. So I love to cook, but I don't like to bake.
Okay.
You know, and I feel like, you know, brewing is more like baking. Like everything's pretty specific. Everything's pretty exact.
Temperature's got to be right.
Weighing your ingredients, doing that, you know. Where cooking, you're like, oh, I like this. Maybe I'll add a little here, a little there. So like for me, my personality just is not that. And so that's, for me, that's why we, you know, I try to get a really good team. It's what Dave's here for. And I like to say I'm the pretty face. Without the guys, you know, without my team, you know, this is just a silly idea in my head. I could not pull this off by myself.
Yeah.
And they owe a lot of it to them.
It's a family.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And that's why I always like to, you know, to support, you know, breweries and stuff like that, especially when they're so tight knit, like, because those are the people you want to support. All right. I had to walk away, grab another beer here. I'm drinking the Pfeiffer's Light. Yeah, it's coming in at, was it 4.5? All right. My eyes aren't as bad as I thought they were. Hmm. Ooh, it has a little bite to it too. I like it. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's been really well received.
Yeah, that's, oh, I can see why. Can you tell us about the other beers you have on tap?
Yeah, we can try to mix it up with a few different styles. Obviously, we have the you know, Pfeiffer's Famous, Pfeiffer's Light. We brewed a lavender, you know, Belgian wit beer with lavender, coriander, and a little orange peel or orange zest. The beer that we're kind of excited about, it's been fun, is we were trying to come up with like a holiday beer.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, somebody threw fruitcake out there.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you ever had a fruitcake, but they're usually they're pretty sweet and they're not too good. But
yeah,
we kind of came around this whole idea, and we ended up brewing a Belgian quad with nutmeg, I think cloves, cinnamon. And then it's aged with cherries, pineapples, raisins, brandy-soaked pecans, and it literally tastes like a fruitcake, but a lot better.
Oh, wow, nice.
So that one's really fun. And then my personal favorite is the chocolate berry buzz, and that's our Imperial Stout, which we call Little Hercules. That's the base stout.
Okay.
But it's aged with raspberries, chocolate, and coffee, and that's really amazing. And then obviously we have the cold IPAs and the hazies and the our SoCal Pilsner's kind of a hoppy Pilsner. So, yeah.
Yeah, that chocolate berry buzz. Everybody. I was going to say, take my money. Yeah.
Yeah. If you like raspberries, that's my personal favorite right now.
Okay. I'll have to do a short pour of that one for sure. Yeah. I'm probably going to have to grab some Pfeiffer's Famous too to take home later.
Yeah, that's the that beer we sell in six packs to go, and that's one we're kind of pushing into distribution. You can kind of find around here and there.
So. Okay. Yeah, and because I think I saw the other day when you guys were posting the six packs and stuff. I was like, oh man, there's such like the cool. I almost want to keep the box.
Yeah.
Then it comes in. It looks really cool.
Well, we try to keep like a lot of the original like logos and images, you know, from back in the day. We've kind of like we almost all the logos we have are like definitely elements from the past that we've tried to like at least consolidate and kind of like, this is what we're going to use moving forward. But I mean, I read somewhere, I'm pretty sure, that the guy, so the main mascot, his name is Johnny Pfeiffer.
Okay.
And, my understanding was that he was created by the Walt Disney Company in 1941.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we kind of maintain him. And then my other favorite one is the Happy Mug guy.
Kind of oh, yeah. I love
the
that.
Big sign. Mm-hmm. And he appeared on a can. And yeah, all the imagery has been, it's been super fun.
Yeah.
Like just all the different logos. And there's still more. Like I have like this cases and cases of memorabilia that still have to come in that
we oh, put on cool.
display and stuff. So.
That'd be yeah. awesome. Almost putting in like, I was going to say, what's the, like those big old cases you can put all the, those glass cases you can put all the old like kind of memorabilia in. That'd be kind of sweet.
Yeah. Like the old bear, the lawyer's bookcase or, yeah. or something. Yeah. We have some, they're going to go above these, above the couches and stuff.
Oh, that's so going to be perfect. Cool.
Yeah. If you look around the edge, you'll see like there's a, an original wooden keg from Pfeiffer Brewing Company.
Oh, wow.
Up there and a bunch of the old original beer crates and, there's a really cool picture on the wall. Like Pfeiffer's, they used to have a blimp.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So after World War II, they took like a decommissioned Navy blimp and kind of rebranded it as the Pfeiffer blimp.
Wow.
And, yeah, it's cool. So there's like all this really cool imagery, that's been super fun to find.
Yeah.
And like people send me pictures all the time of, you know, their uncles or whatever drinking Pfeiffer's beer from back in the day. And it's been really cool. Like you said, it's, I don't know, there's this real nostalgia. Like we don't have to pretend to be nostalgic. It's
exactly.
just, there, it just is.
Yeah. Know, it's and that, cool. that's what I was going to say too, is like, cause you can't like nostalgia sells. I mean like, you know, that stuff and like people like you were telling, if you could tell us the story that you told me earlier about that couple that was down here from Minnesota.
Oh yeah. It was the craziest thing where, it was last Friday. There was a couple, Jeff, our taproom general manager, he called me over. He's like, oh my God, these guys are, you know, all the way from Minnesota. And they stopped in and I was like, oh, that's really cool. Like, I'm so glad you stopped in. Like what brought you out to California? And, they kind of looked at me funny and they're like, this is it. This was the destination. So literally they flew all the way from Minnesota, you know, to come check out the brewery. They drank Pfeiffer's back in the day and they're like, oh, let's go to California and check it out. So yeah, it's been amazing. Like, you know, and I get messages almost every day from people all around the country that, oh, I grew up drinking this, or my grandpa drank this, or my dad drank this back in the day. And, you know, it's kind of fun. I mean, I like the nostalgia part of it. I don't want to like rest on that. I don't want to like use that as like, you know, a crutch by any stretch, but it is really cool to have, you know, a history. And I like to tell people like, you know, yeah, I mean, I guess I'm the owner, but I like to use the word caretaker, you know, I really want this brand to, you know, to hopefully outlast me, you know, and, you know, somebody else can carry the torch, hopefully, you know, so, it's cool.
That's awesome, man. And like, it's, you know, cause like you said, like the whole nostalgia thing, but it's also about like, you know, obviously making it like, well, paying like an homage to the brand, but then still also making it your own as well.
Yeah, definitely. No, I definitely want to do that. Like, like you said, I don't want to rest on what it was. I want to make it, you know, what it is today.
100%.
Which is, you know, our vision, our team's vision of what we want this to be.
Mm-hmm. That's freaking awesome, man. And I love to hear stories like that, because that's like, if this can motivate one person to be like, you know, hey, I want to try to do something. Like I want to maybe just homebrew, or maybe try to start a brewery. If you've been homebrewing for a long time and you want to start like, you know, or maybe start up your own brewery, like that's, and if one person does that, then I've done my job here.
Yeah. No, I hear. Cheers. Drink to that. That's for sure.
All right. We also have somebody else sitting in here with us. We have Dave Cheney, the head brewer. What's going on?
How's it going?
Good, man. How about you? Could you tell us a little bit about your craft beer journey?
Sure. It started in probably about 2009. Just kind of started, you know, drinking more craft beer, going around to some of the local bars in Pasadena, is where I grew up.
Okay.
So Lucky Baldwin's was kind of my place of choice,
nice.
All three locations. Stone, like you had mentioned earlier, was kind of your first thing. That was kind of the one that got me really into it.
Yeah.
Arrogant Bastard was actually what made me fall in love with
beer. Oh, there you
as
go.
Weird as it is.
Yeah.
And so then about a couple years later, on 2012, my best friend and I went on a trip to San Diego, spent 2 days just going to as many breweries as we could. Way too many in 2 days. I think we did 19 breweries in 2 days.
Oh, shit.
We were taking naps in the car between stops.
I have a headache right now just thinking about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right before we drove back, we decided we hit a homebrew shop, bought everything we needed, and that night at about midnight started brewing.
Awesome.
Then about a year later, I ended up moving out to Arizona. I was living in Lake Havasu City. Not a ton to do most of the time. So I really started putting a lot of time into brewing.
Okay.
And I just was at least two batches a week I was putting out. Whenever I wasn't at work, I was brewing.
Oh, wow.
Kind of fell in love with some weird styles. I really love black IPA. I think it's probably the most interesting kind of beer.
Oh, they're delicious, but you just don't see them very often.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the sales on them dropped pretty dramatically a while back, but they seem like they're picking up a little steam again, which makes me happy. So, yeah, I was doing that. Ended up, just circumstances, ended up moving back out to California. Was selling cars and found a local brewery in Van Nuys called McLeod.
Okay.
Just started regularing the place. And about 6 months after I found it, they just needed help doing some construction. They had acquired the building next door and needed to do a bunch of work. And I have a background with that. My dad's been in construction my whole life. So I just started helping out. And about 6 to 7 months after I started helping out, they went through a whole staff change in the brewery and led to an opening. So I started washing kegs 2 days a week. Didn't really know if it would turn into anything, but I was highly motivated.
Yeah.
And so then about 4 months after I started doing that, I got to start helping a little more in the brewery, became an assistant brewer. And then what would it have been? So that was... I started officially in February of 2016 as a keg washer. And then the brewer that was there had a falling out with the ownership. And in March of 2017, he left. And I managed to finagle my way into taking
over. There you go.
So in about a year, I went from a guy washing kegs a couple times a week to running a brewery.
That's awesome.
Totally changed the place. When I started, it was pretty much entirely English cask beer, which is great. I love it. But it also wasn't making money. So then I expanded us from having 12 taps to 26, and really, like, most of it had been our six beer engines serving a lot of cask. And I really was like, guys, we want to make this work. We got to grow. So I started putting out a lot of German styles, a lot of lager. And at one point just decided I was going to make a light beer.
There you go.
Nobody wanted me to do it.
Yeah.
When I had asked the ownership about it, they were like, please don't.
Yeah.
I did it anyways. Didn't tell anyone.
Yeah.
It's still their best-selling beer today.
There you go. But sometimes I feel like those changes can kind of like, they're like, people are hesitant at first.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's like, it's always kind of, there's like the fads and kind of stuff like that,
Yeah. And it mostly came about as a joke, really. I didn't want to make hazy IPA. And that was right when it was getting popular. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, this is not what I want to do.
Yeah.
And so I was like, what sells better than hazy IPA?
Yeah.
Light beer.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. So yeah, just kind of went for it. And then sure enough, entered it in World Beer Cup, won a silver medal.
That's fucking awesome.
And then every competition besides JBF I entered that year, I placed at least in the category. I ended up getting a couple golds and second best of show at two competitions.
That's awesome.
For American light beer.
Yeah.
So...
How cool
that's kind of that? How it started. Left there, helped start another brewery on Thousand Oaks called Petals and Pints. I'm still very good friends with them.
Heard of it, yeah.
I trained the girl that's running it now. She's a good friend, and I love that place. But yeah, circumstances, I attempted to open my own brewery. Things didn't quite work out.
Okay.
Which, maybe for the better. I'm not so sure it would have gone as well as I wanted with my business partner. So, but now, found this place, and I'm really happy to be here. Joe and Tyler have been great. It's a good opportunity. I like the nostalgia of the brand. I like that it is based in kind of what I like to do, simple American beer.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's awesome, man. So when's the black IPA going to come out?
Still working on figuring out how to get that one done.
Okay. Do you know Nadav from Long Beach Beer Lab? You ever met him?
I've met the owner once. I don't remember his name.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I can't remember the owner's name off the top of my head right now, but yeah. Their head brewer is Nadav. He just brewed a black IPA. So okay. If you want to reach out to him, he's
super nice guy. I've done a bunch of them. And, my buddy's out in Thousand Oaks at Tarantula Hill, make a kill.
Oh, Tarantula Hill's awesome.
They're really good friends of mine, and they make one of the best black IPAs around when it's out.
Do you know Curtis?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I know Curtis is such a great guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
he's not there anymore.
Yeah, he left. Yeah.
He's not even in brewing anymore, I don't think. He just left the last brewery he was at.
Yeah. So I don't know, because I was trying to get Tarantula Hill for a long time, but I mean, that's also a drive.
Yeah, it is. I unfortunately live out in the valley. So.
Oh, gotcha.
It's actually closer to me to go there than here.
Oh, there you go. And you said you grew up in Pasadena. Where about?
Right down the street from Pasadena High School.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, I kind of grew up in, like, Altadena. So it was, like, right off of, like, New York and Hill.
Okay. Yeah. So most of my childhood was near PHS. And then teenage years, we were up in Altadena, actually. We were up off of Lincoln and Altadena Drive.
Nice. Yeah, right by Eaton Canyon and all that good stuff. Yeah. I grew up just walking there when I was a kid. So, what are your favorite, some of your favorite beers? I know you like the lighter stuff, but is there any other other styles that you like to drink?
Oh, I mean, I love a West Coast IPA, especially a little more classic when they still had a little more malt character to it.
Oh, yeah.
And then I love British beer. Really good low alcohol malty beer is kind of just my thing.
That's how they can drink all day.
Exactly. Yeah. Like slightly lower carbonation, just like really good flavor, but from the malt.
Oh, 100%. So. I think it was like Newcastle was like, I remember drinking that when I was a kid and thinking like, oh, this is like, you know, I'm a badass because I'm drinking something.
I think we all went through that phase. I did the same thing at one point. Then I learned too much about beer and.
Yeah. That's awesome. Did you guys have like favorite stuff that you guys like to pair with food and stuff like that? Like if you were going to, you know, drink a beer, like, you know, with a burger, what would you, or any type of food really, do you like to do, like if you were going to pair food with a beer?
With what we've got right now, I mean, I think the best two to pair with most food is going to be the light and the famous. I really like pairing hoppy stuff with like spicier food, like wings or anything that's with some heat to it.
Yeah.
That always tends to go really well. And then like the stouts and things I think can go really well with, mostly dessert.
Yeah. I was saying that chocolate berry buzz is probably really good with like a pie or something like that, or some ice cream.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Have you ever brewed a West Coast Pilsner?
Yeah. I've done a couple. Hopefully we'll do one again soon. Right now though, we're making just a classic German Pilsner. I want to kind of just get myself a good base to start from, and then kind of go from there.
Love that.
Yeah. I think we have a Bock on tap coming up soon.
Yeah. We have a Bock in the tank right now. Very traditional. So, it's going to be extremely malty. It's almost entirely Munich malt.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be rich and bold.
Oh, that's awesome. I think the last I was talking to, I don't know if you know Ruben from Burning Bridge over in San Dimas.
I do not.
But we were talking about like the old Michelob Amber Bock back in the day. Like, you know, that was like, because that was like the only thing I was like thinking, like I was like, what's a Bock? You know, kind of thing. Other than in baseball. One thing I always love to ask people too is, if you had to choose between, like, if you were going to have, you know, like wings, burgers, pizza, what would you choose? Or tacos from the, what would you choose if you were going to have a beer? What would you choose out of those four?
Tacos.
Yeah.
Wings for me.
Yeah. What kind of wings do you like?
Classic buffalo wings.
Okay.
I don't need no garlic parmesan. I need egg honey. I want classic buffalo wings. I love those things.
Love it. What kind of tacos would you have, Dave?
Typically, it's either going to be carnitas or pastor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Both great.
Yeah. I'm a pork fan.
Yeah.
Kind of any food I eat, there's probably pork on it.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Pork's my favorite vegetable.
Exactly.
Same. Do you guys ever like have like food trucks or anything like that around? Or
yeah, we try to.
Yeah.
It's been a little challenge. Sometimes they're harder to work with, harder to get, you know, on the docket and you know, being newer, they're a little bit apprehensive to come and mm-hmm. commit to a day. But yeah, we've had them quite a few times.
So awesome.
Definitely. And we actually have the space next door. So the plan is to open up the wall and actually have a restaurant
as well. Oh, awesome.
Yeah, but that's a much longer process. I have to get a CUP to the city, and so that's a ways out, though. Mm-hmm. Probably 6 to 6 months at the best case scenario, if not longer.
Gotcha. Being from Wisconsin, are there going to be brats on the menu? Because I love a good beer brat.
Yeah, definitely. I think the plan is to kind of have, like, ideally, if we can get it through the city and all that, is to have like a kind of open fire.
Okay.
So all wood fire everything. So, yeah, definitely kind of like mix it up. Maybe some different things every day.
That's awesome.
Probably won't have too much of a set menu.
Cool. Yeah. I mean that's, and it's cool because you can rotate things. Obviously, you can have different beers and all that sort of stuff. So.
Yeah,
no, that definitely sounds kick-ass to me.
Yeah, should be exciting. It's like you said, it's quite the adventure.
Yeah,
it's taking a lot longer than like every plan. I got the keys in June, and I was planning to be open early September, and I don't think we didn't open until November. So
yeah,
I mean, I didn't even come on board until early September.
Yeah. I always tell the team, I'm like, I'm the optimist. I'm gonna push, and,
yeah,
you know, and it's their job to kind of to push back and you know, maybe make my expectations a little more realistic sometimes.
Nah, but that's all right. I mean, like, we always want to push ourselves to try to, you know, to get it done by a certain date, or to just, you know, to make things better. But sometimes things get in the way, you know, and life gets in the way. And
yes, permits and get in the way, licenses get in the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely not that easy to get this going.
Oh, no. This was a lot harder and a lot more expensive than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
But
yeah, like, whatever you think the budget is, double it.
Yeah.
At least.
But I've only had the two of them so far, and you guys are killing it.
Awesome. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
That means a lot.
And the one thing I love too is about when it comes to, like, if you put out a quality product, people will find it.
Absolutely.
And that's like one of the things I love about this is just word of mouth. Like, that's what I consider this, word of mouth. Even, I mean, you know, all the people that listen. But I mean, if someone can listen to this and, you know, be like, oh, dude, I got to check that place out. Because, and if you're listening, you definitely need to check this place out. Because it does remind me of, you know, like, because of the logos, because of everything like that. And obviously the kick-ass beer that you guys are, you know, brewing here. You get that. I don't know. I love Cheers. The movie Cheers. And I said the movie. What dumbass, Mike. the show Cheers. Like, I will, like, this is like walking in, seeing like the wood tables, seeing all that. And it brings me back. Like, even though I never had Pfeiffer's, but I was gonna say as a kid, but I mean, I probably shouldn't have had it as a kid. But, you know, you get to see that, you know, the tabletops, everything like that, you know, the Christmas tree over there and the logo and the way that the neon sign you guys have is phenomenal.
Yeah, that thing turned out amazing.
Yeah. I bet that probably doubled the budget because that thing looks awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't inexpensive, but I think that's like the most photographed neon sign in Mexico right now.
Yeah. No, it's freaking sweet. And now that it's lit up, I definitely got to get a shot of it.
Yeah.
Right on, for sure.
Yeah. Did you mention the origins of the Johnny Pfeiffer character?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. Too. You know, that's kind of helped bring it back to Anaheim. It's
cool. Yeah. Do you guys have any, I mean, I know it's, you know, the grand opening, we said was the 11th, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, grand reopening, but do you guys have you had any fun taproom stories since it opened?
I think this, like I said, for me, just those people coming in from Minnesota, yeah. I mean, I think that was just completely unexpected and, I don't know, like kind of humbling, like that,
mm-hmm.
that like this brand meant so much to somebody that they're willing to do that. Like, to me, that's that's insane. That's like, so awesome. I think so for me, I don't know, I think that's probably the coolest story so far.
Yeah.
We did have a couple came in and they're like, ask us why we're coming in. I'm like, I'll bite.
Yeah,
why are you coming in? And they're like, they had a baby with them. They're like, her name's Pfeiffer. I think she was named after the Pfeiffer State Beach in like Central or Northern California. But
okay.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I'm like, how do they spell it? They're like, the same way. And I'm like, oh, that's super rad. So that was cool too.
Yeah.
That's freaking awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. They said humbling. That was that was, that, like you said, that somebody would come all the way that far just to have a beer here is,
yeah,
pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, and what more can you, like you said, like it being a family and you guys being so tight knit with, you know, obviously you, Dave and Tyler and stuff like that. It feels like, you know, like why we, you know, when they, people see that name and then they, you know, when they get here, they try your beer and you can kind of see how tight knit you guys are. I mean, why wouldn't you want to support that?
No, I appreciate that. Yeah. I mean, it's really important. Like you said, there's, you know, Tyler, Dave, Jeff, myself, and it's been really fun because we all kind of have very different personalities and definitely each brings something completely different to the table. It's been a fun process because it's like, you know, I don't want yes men and none of us are there. We're all going to share opinion. And then we'll, you know, we kind of go from there to move forward with the vision that we come about kind of as a team. You know, it's not like, oh, we're going to do this. It's not about that at all. You know, so I think we all have to be, you know, on board and it just makes for a better environment for everybody. I think, you know, and believe in what we're doing as a team.
Yeah.
Not just being told what to do.
100%. And I feel like you need that kind of like somebody to bring you back down to not back down to earth, but you need to be able to have the, you know, somebody that said like, hey, maybe we should try this or maybe we should do this or, you know, and it's good if you can bounce those ideas off each other.
Yeah.
Definitely. Because if you don't have like that collaboration, and that's what I love about this community is the collaboration. Everybody's like, hey, you guys just made this thing. Like we're trying to work on this, but my recipe's off. Like, what do I need? Like, what would you do? You can call someone from another brewery and they'd be like, oh yeah, dude, like, go, maybe try this.
Yeah,
absolutely. I've definitely over the years been able to take advantage of that. I'm really good friends with Ennegrin Brewing.
Oh, nice.
On Moore Park. They've helped me a ton over the years.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, and I feel like anytime you talk to like a brewer or owner or anything like that, like they always, that's always the same response of like, oh, we couldn't figure this out, so we reached out to this person.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I always say, like, I mean, every community has their kind of like, you know, whatever. But I mean, like 95% of the craft beer community is just the best.
I agree.
Yeah.
I'm going to say like, I mean, people like wine and stuff like that, but I feel like that's that kind of community.
That's a little different. They're a lot more secretive about what they do. They're less friendly.
Yeah. Well, that's what I love it though, because everybody wants to like, everybody just wants to help each other and everybody wants to continue to grow and make craft beer grow. Because I mean, it's, you know, it's not that it's like David versus Goliath or anything like that, but I mean, you know, I mean, I guess in a sense it is, but still like if you're putting out the, you know, better product day in and day out, which the craft beer community is, you know, that just helping, you know, mom and pop shops and, you know, home brewers and, you know, bigger breweries and stuff like that, you know. I just love this community.
Yeah, it's been really fun because I think in some of my other, you know, ventures, like, you know, there's so many people out there that there's two different types of people. There's the people that operate out of like scarcity and then like limitless, you know. It's like, I think in the craft beer world for the most part, it's like, I think we all are on the same page. It's like there's just a limitless amount of opportunity, a limitless amount of customers, and we don't have to compete. Like, it's not like, oh, if they go to that brewery, they're not going to come to our brewery. Like, it's like freeing. It's a really good experience to be able to operate out of like just opportunity. Like, there's plenty of opportunity. You know, they're going to come to our brewery, they're going to go to your brewery. You know, same thing. Like, people come here, like, oh, you should check out that brewery next or go there. Like, it's definitely a really cool environment, I think, just, you know, all the different other brewery owners and everybody around here. Like, it's not like, oh my God, if they go to that brewery, then they're not going to come to mine. And
yeah,
oh, I got to get every customer. It's not like that.
Oh, 100%. There's, I want to say it's in like Whittier and like Pico, and Montebello. They have what I think they have Angry Horse. They're all down Whittier Boulevard though. It's like, it's Angry Horse, La Bodega, Whittier Brewing and Brujeria and Pico. And they're all just supporting each other. They're all like, oh, yeah, if you like this beer, check it. You should check out this one. It's not like, no, somebody's telling you, like, oh, no, don't go there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it should never be that way.
Yeah, like my trip I was mentioning earlier where I went down to San Diego years ago, like, that's kind of what happened. We just kind of, we picked, like, four places we knew we were going to go. And then while we were there, we would ask the taproom people, like, hey, where's the next place we should go?
Yeah.
And that's kind of how we found where to hit.
Yeah. And you can always ask the brewers too, like, what do you guys drink? Exactly. Like, you know, so that's awesome. And like I said, I'm super appreciative. I'm glad you guys got to be on. Maybe if Tyler comes back in a little bit, we can have him on for a minute, but we will see if not, but I'm super appreciative of you guys being on the show and everything and letting me come down here.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. Like I said, it's a great opportunity just to tell our story and tell other people what we're about and what we're trying to do here. And, you know, hopefully build an audience for our vision.
Oh, for sure, man. And like, you know, I'm going to frequent this place quite a bit. So if you see me, I have a Norm pop toy. I might bring him and just set him somewhere.
There you go.
So
that'd be awesome.
Funny thing about Norm, he actually, at the beginning of McLeod, he used to regular McLeod when I was
there.
Oh,
did he?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Oh, damn. Awesome. What I would have done to just walk in and be like, Normie.
Yeah, it was a trip.
That's so awesome. That's awesome. All right. Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Hopefully Tyler comes back. If not, then you'll know the episode's over.
Right on. Thank you.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Bye. All right, guys. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that interview with Joe Pfeiffer. Like I said, it was a really kind of interesting story of how everything came about. But yeah, so Jam's got a couple bonus beers that we're going to be doing. I'm going to let you read it, Jam.
Wait, what the hell is that?
This is my niece Amanda's favorite beer of all time.
Favorite beer, okay.
It's Kentucky Bourbon Barrel Imperial Milk Stout.
Well, if it's an Imperial,
contains 12% alcohol.
Oh, fantastic.
Aged in bourbon barrels since 1999. Brewed in Lexington, Kentucky.
All right, well, just give me a splash.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not the biggest barrel
guy. Out of it.
So yeah, we can drink out of the bottle, yeah.
Go first.
So John's going first. Here you go. Imperial aged milk stout.
Oh, it smells like coffee.
Yeah, it's not necessarily my cup of tea because I do love stouts, but I'm not like the biggest bourbon, barrel aged ones.
I'm scared.
You fucking brought it. You need to take it.
Yeah.
I'd rather review the fucking Jameson over there.
There you go.
It's not too late.
Well, then we'll go.
There's Jammin's review.
Yeah.
Cool.
Sorry, Amanda.
Kentucky Bourbon Barrel Imperial Milk Stout. Yeah. 12% alcohol. Asian Barrel. Fucking, here we go. Oh, it's handmade.
Yeah, they mash it by hand.
Enjoy cold. Very chocolatey. Coffee-ish. It's okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's middle of the, I don't know. It's not, like I said, it's not my style, so I'm not going to give it a bad rating or anything.
I think I can only do a flight, like those little flight cups of this. I can't do
that. Yeah, if it was in a flight, I could probably do that. But
I can't drink this whole entire thing. 12 ounces, no way.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's not bad. It's not,
she drinks a six pack of that thing.
Yeah. Well.
How? That's fine. That's.
Kudos to your lady friends.
She drinks this in the summer?
And she drinks it all the time.
There you go. Jam's got another one here.
Number two. So this says Stash Panda Hazy IPA. So Gunner, this is up your alley right here. Features Citra Cryo Hops, whatever that means, and a hefty helping of grapefruit peel, giving this bright, hazy, tropical ale an unmasked citrus flavor and aroma.
Ooh.
6.5%, 50 IBUs. From Portland, Oregon, it is Hop Valley Brewing Company, Stash Panda.
Sweet name.
Yeah. Stash your panda, pal.
The funny part is, I was going to say there's no panda, but there's pandas in pink. So
How old is that beer can?
From Portland, I probably see that. Good till April 24th.
There you go. Plenty of time.
They just brought it yesterday.
I got plenty of room.
All right. Hop Valley. I don't see a panda anywhere.
Yeah. It's right there.
That's a raccoon.
It does look like a raccoon.
It's 100% a raccoon.
It does look like
a raccoon. My bad. Stash raccoon.
Either way.
I guess trash panda is what they call raccoons. I get it. It makes sense. Oh, shit.
I don't even smell grapefruit. A little bit.
It's there, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You get some on the nose for sure.
Ooh. It's not bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no, what was this one? Big Blue Van. But Big Blue Van's winner for me. That one's good. This one's not bad. I don't know. I'd give it a, like a 6.5. It's all
right. Yeah. I'm kind of right there with you. It's, you know, it's not, I mean, for me, it's like, no, I'm not going to, you know, write home about it. But
yeah.
I mean, I'd give it a 6.
Yeah. Nice. Jim?
You?
6.5.
6.
6, yeah.
Shit.
Make it even 6.66.
8.6.
8.6.
I actually
right.
like it. Oh, nice, Jim. Oh, yeah. Man, I don't like this kind of stuff, but I would drink that. Maybe a 1 or 2.
Okay.
Tops.
Nice.
All right, before we finish up, who do you guys got in tomorrow's games? You got the Bucks, Eagles, and probably should have mentioned that earlier in the wild card part.
That's right.
Bucks, Eagles, and then who's a
Buffalo and Steelers.
There you go.
I got the Eagles, easy one.
Okay.
And I got the Steelers with a massive upset.
Okay.
Oh, shit. I got the Bills and the Bucks.
Wow.
Yeah, I was going to go Bills, Bucks, too.
I think the Eagles are just bad.
Yeah, I mean, they just, like, fell off, like, you know, fell off the wagon, eh?
Yeah, we'll see.
Bunch of injuries. Got to remember, they rested everyone last weekend.
No, yeah. A.J. Brown, though.
But then also
A.J. Brown's out, but Devonta Smith is incredible.
You do got to worry about what's-his-name's finger.
Jalen.
Yeah. I feel like that's, you know, unless I wonder if they're going to tape it and like, put a glove on it, maybe.
Maybe.
Just to kind of keep it.
The old Kurt Warner?
Yeah. Just going to keep it in place, I guess, but... We'll see, but yeah, thanks to Jam for the weekend. It's always fun when we get to come out here. We got to ride up right on the four wheeler on the Razor earlier, and now
Jam is gonna make us a mountain of wings.
Yeah,
no, this is fucking sad. Right?
He wanted to make 15 pounds of wings for 6 people.
Yeah,
dude, that's like 3 a piece,
3 pounds a piece, just about.
Yeah, so now he's only making 6 pounds of wings.
I think is that 6 pounds? Oh, those are some big old beefy bastards.
Yeah, some fucking big ass wings.
Just like big old beefy bastards, like Knob. Right?
Yeah, thank you. Okay,
Knob's got a hog.
I covered them up to this weekend.
Oh, what a pro move by Jam! I was freezing. I was cold, but I wasn't really cold. But I thought Jam threw a blanket on me and expected me. I thought, oh man, I gotta open this, but nope. He legit like threw it over me, and, like draped me like a soft baby.
There you go.
Might have got a cheap feeling.
Can't go wrong with it.
And a message for Jake before we go.
Yeah.
Get your ass out here.
Yeah, Navajos get out to Arizona.
Not looking for you.
Start for another time.
Yeah, start for another day. It was a wild bastard party back then.
Let's just say that.
Yeah.
But that was a fun weekend. Thanks again, Jen, for having us.
Anytime. Yeah. Come whenever.
All right, guys. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. Next week, I am recorded with Jenna Milo from Orlando. So she talks about all the, you know, the Orlando craft beer scene, stuff like that. And then the week after that's the episode 50, which is, you know, the thank you episode. And then the week after that will be Wren House. And then I got some other stuff coming up. Creature Comfort, Native Son, Unsung again with Mike to do, because I wanted him to be on the 52nd episode, because that'll be one full year on the anniversary of the first episode of the Tap Room. All right, well... Hope you guys, like I said, have a good week and take care. And remember, you got to gamble to win, baby.
Mm-hmm. Scared money don't make money.
Exactly.
There you go.
Twinkle, twinkle, motherfuckers. Twinkle, twinkle.